streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Ghetto people, who you gonna turn to next?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people.
Self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Show some love for yourself, people. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. What you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness you can never get used to.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people,
what are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that?
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to? Listen, people, you better take a look at yourself, yeah. Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
at. Living
like you're living, living like you're living.
Caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dreams,
yeah.
Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Talking to my people, yeah. Can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need when what you really want inside can only come.
Motherland Media is on the air. You are listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in a medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them and their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So he poured his libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, I hope all is well with you today. Hope you had a good day. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, have to do, should do, better do, must do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating this past weekend for you to do. But if it wasn't, that's right. You got it done because you know you got to do it. It is what it is. So get it done. Stop that procrastination, y'all. Yeah, get it done. It's a blessed day, as all days are blessed day, that you are able to wake up, that the Lord has blessed you to wake up, as God has blessed you to wake up. And, of course, the physiology blesses you to wake up, you know. And sometimes it'll mess up and then you won't. You know, you'll be in a coma or you'll be near death. And let's not go there, okay? So I'm glad you're woke. Stay that way. You can call us right here in African Perspectives at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 to give us your comments, questions, or concerns, or just to give us your African perspective, okay? We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you can't listen live, you can go to the archives at Time for an Awakening and Black Talk Radio Network. So stay with us, brothers and sisters, right here in African Perspectives. Today on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., all times I'm giving you are Eastern times. So from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds. At 8 p.m. to 9, the podcast, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Let's Buy Black 365. On Wednesdays, Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. with Revive. Revive. Thursdays from 9 p.m., Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Family-centered economics. And, of course, I'll always make mention of the Cafe ULU. Cafe ULU is open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. here in Atlanta. On Sundays and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located 2036 Sylvan Road. 2036 Sylvan Road here in Atlanta, right off of I-75-85, which is a north-south freeway, and Georgia 116, kind of runs diagonal, but you get off of Georgia 166, it is the second exit, and bam, you're right there. You're right there, Cafe ULU. And, of course, Cafe ULU is a coffee house and roaster, and it has the best coffees, the finest freshly roasted coffees and specialty beverages and pastries in a warm, clean, relaxing environment with friendly service. We have coffee from Tanzania, Cameroon, Kenya, Ethiopia, Brazil, and much, much more. So check out Cafe Ulu. If you want to check it out on the internet, do that. Cafe Ulu, CafeUlu.com. Also, too, you can check out Us Lifting Us on our website, usliftingus.com. We have our Power Summit coming up in a few weeks, March 16th and 17th here in Atlanta. On the 16th is a meet and greet at the cafe, at Cafe Ulu, a meet and greet. And on the 17th, the Power Summit from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Atlanta Technical College on Metropolitan Boulevard here in Atlanta, Atlanta Technical College. A lot of good information, a lot of good stuff that we're going to be presenting to our brothers and sisters. A lot of things that are happening aside from our development of our co-op and all of that good kind of stuff. So Cafe Ulu and Us Lifting Us every Thursday, 9 p.m. Check them out. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, you know what time it is, right? You better know, because it's time for an awakening. Time for an awakening with hosts Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays, Saturday Sports Talk with Brother Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern. Saturday evening, early evening, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank from 4 p.m. to 6. Sundays, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it's not me, not Brother Oshi, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. That's Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, with Revive. Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening. Time for an awakening. There's some other events coming up. I'll be pumping up this event, hopefully get a couple of people on the program to talk more about it. But it's the 21st Century Survival Conference, African Survival Conference, April 14th, at the Shrine of the Black Madonna right here in Atlanta, Shrine of the Black Madonna. And going to be dealing with spirituality. Ashua Kwesi, the master teacher. We're talking about African spirituality. Going to deal with culture. Baba Mwali Baruti. You know, I have a lot of admiration for Brother Mwali Baruti, good brother. And, of course, I use his sovereignty definition here. And dealing with survival, the irritated genie on African survival in the 21st century. So the conference will be held April 14th at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Saturday, April 14th. Doors open up at 12 noon. So be prepared to come down here, because I think it's going to be very good, very, at least as far as I'm concerned. Also, too, Africa for the Africans, my good brother, Bomani. All right, Brother Bomani. And he has a tour coming up in May. You can contact him in May. You might want to jump on it. The prices are very reasonable. Good amount of time. Get a chance to see Ghana, all over Ghana. Round trip on Delta from Atlanta to Accra. Transportation and tours throughout Ghana. Daily morning exercise and meditation sessions, daily continental breakfast and gourmet dinner, naming ceremony and ancestral celebration, hotel accommodations, double occupancy, business and investment conference and networking, all sites and activities, entrance. So check him out on his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Full out one word, Africa for the Africans, not spelt like the way some of us do with the K, it's spelt with the C. So make sure you have that in there. You can send them an email at Africa for the Africans, AFTA 2010 at MSN.com. Or you can call Brother Bomani Tahimbe at 404-931-9429. Check him out on Facebook, Facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. Or check his videos out on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/, once again, Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I, 2007, and check out some of the videos and some of the pictures and all the stuff that the brothers and sisters have been able to experience through his tours. And so, you know, because I'm always talking about Africa. Here's an opportunity for you to go. Because I know I sure want to go. And I hope to be going soon. Yeah. So, give us a call here. Here at African Perspectives at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Only got a few more days left today and Wednesday for American, African, and American African History Month. I always put that African in there because to me, this is our month to focus in on Africa. Not just America, but Africa, period. You know. So, I know Wednesday, my usual co-host, Brother Frank Jones and I, the Black Matrix, will be talking further about the movie Black Panther. Because there's a lot to talk about that movie in terms of its symbolism, what it's saying, all of that. It needs to be talked about. Because number one, brothers and sisters, you know, I know that the majority of our people and people, period, basically, go to movies to be entertained, to go to for escapism, not understanding, particularly in this society. That's why I'm so adamant about trying to help open our people's minds because of how you bombarded 24/7, 365, constantly. And we need to look at things critically, analytically, dissect that stuff, think about it, go into some deep thought about what is it saying? What is the symbolism? What is the overt message? What is the covert message? What is being interpolated? All of those things need to be considered. Because one thing for sure, brothers and sisters, we are under attack. No, we are being targeted for genocide. I'm going to read today from The Arrow. Of course, The Arrow is the newspaper for the Institute of the New World and the Organization of African Unity out of San Antonio, Texas. I promote this. I encourage you to become a member or get the newspaper, subscribe to the newspaper at least, and that's very easy to do. You can write to The Arrow at 646 Holm Green Road, H-O-L-M-G, R-E-E-N, Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220. 78220. You can give them a call at 210-333-0118. 213-333-0118. Or you can email them. You can email them at obu@twc.com. The Arrow. A lot of good information here. I tell you, to me, although I've been reading and dealing with this newspaper for a few years, I just find it, you know, its monthly publication just invaluable with good information, a lot of good stories, a lot of good focus on ancestors, bringing up people and so forth. So I'm going to read a number of things out of this newspaper today. I'm going to talk about genocide. I'm going to talk about genocide. You know, that word has been used, and we need to get a definition. You need to get a definition of what genocide is. And
this call is being recorded.
And then tell me if that definition does not fit our situation, not here in America, but globally. On the continent and throughout the diaspora. We have a caller. Let's take a caller. 6267. 267. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Brother Oshie. Brother Ralph here.
Hey, Brother Ralph. How you doing today, brother? How was your weekend?
I'm fine. Weekend was beautiful, man.
Good.
Me and the wife, we spent some time together, you know. And
that's good.
It was my birthday. So So she really went out her way to make sure everything was good, man. And I got some text messages from my nieces and all my sisters, man. And I'm going to tell you something, Brother Oshie. You know, sometimes people see something more in you than you see in yourself. And what I was getting from my nieces, my sister-in-law, and my sister, and, you know, and my wife was, sometimes I'm a harsh critic of myself. And, man, they was letting me know, no, they actually need me in their life, and they like what I'm bringing. Even though I'm like sandpaper. You know what I mean?
But
they respect where I'm coming from. They know it's out of love. You know what I mean?
So, right on.
You know, that was amazing, though, Brother Oshie. But, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, I saw Savior's Day. I heard a phone call by one of the callers last night, and they sort of trashed it. So I said, let me watch it and see what's going on. And I think the minister, he basically was showing his human side, and he was actually schooling people wisdom. Now, he gave one, you know, and believe me, I got some problems with that belief also, but I always get what I can get when I can get it. And that brother's like 84, 85 years old.
That's right.
So he knows some things. And he was talking about, and he was like letting the young brothers know what to do when they get stopped by the police. He said, number one, we know he's our enemy anyway. And the gun is his law when it comes to us. I mean, so he's teaching the young brothers how to respond. And he gave a, for instance, and this is what I do also in my situation. I talk about what I do. I talk about my experiences with stuff. I don't tell people what they should do or what they shouldn't do. I talk about my experiences, and that's why, you know, if I have an experience or situation, I'll tell a person, well, you go somewhere else and find somebody that experienced that situation, because they can tell you about their experience. I haven't experienced that yet. So the brother talked about his experience with law enforcement, and he said, like, we know he's our enemy. He wants to kill us anyway. We just don't give him the opportunity to do that. And he talked about when he was stopped in Philadelphia and how he helped the police officer look through his car and everything. And the police officer was talking to him real nasty and talking about, you're too helpful and this, that, and the other. And he said, brothers, I'm telling you this because we know our enemy. We know how he is. So, and when we're not in a position to defend ourselves, we do everything possible to save our lives or possibly his. He said, but when the time is right, and your back is against the wall, he said, you got to do what you got to do to save your life, because your life ain't important to yours.
That's right.
It's not important to nobody. So, you know, I say, like, man, the brother's talking some common sense, because usually when one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he said, like, you know, yeah, we know you're a man and this, that, and the other, but, you know, that man got something on his hip that could just take your life like that. So when you're in that position, you do everything possible to, you know, and he talked about his experience. And I do the same thing when they stop me. Yes. Oh, well, my registration card is in that glove compartment.
Yeah.
And this don't make you a chump or nothing. This makes you smart.
Exactly.
Yeah. My registration card is over there in the glove compartment. Cause see, I know my enemy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know.
No, Ralph, you're correct.
I know.
No, Ralph, you're definitely correct. And I'm not talking about being all submissive and kissing nobody's ass.
No.
I'm talking about stand up as a man, but don't get cocky. Don't get ridiculous. Understand that their position and where's your position. Your position is to get out of this situation alive.
Right.
You know, and so therefore, you know, make sure that you don't give him or her any reason to bust a cap in your ass. And so therefore, you know, make sure that whatever they're asking for, you got, you can, you know, your hands are visible and so forth, you know, because the bottom line is they can kill you and it would be justified. The only way that it will not be justified, if they kill you and it's videotaping, you got corroborators to say, no, this man was unjustly killed by the police and da-da-da-da. No, you're still dead, but hey, maybe your family will benefit from it. But the bottom line is, you're dead. And so let's be here.
Right.
Do the right thing. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you're right. No. Put me on. Go. Who's that?
No. Go ahead, Ralph.
Yeah. No. So anyway, that's what. So I like what the brother said. He's telling you how to save your life in a situation. But he said when the situation's right, your back is come against the wall.
You got to fight.
Then don't go down. You got to fight.
Even if
at least you went down.
That's right.
Swinging.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And possibly you could get him before he gets you.
It's a good chance.
You know what I mean?
It's a good chance. So you got to go for it. Because you're going to die
anyway.
You got to
go for it.
You know? Yeah.
What'd you say, brother?
Because you may die anyway, so you got to go for it.
You might die anyway. So you got to go anyway. So that's why. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Oshie. I'm one of those people. Every time they showed that our brothers and sisters eating in that Woolworths lunch counter, getting food thrown in their face and getting spit, I'm talking about 4 or 5 years old. That used to just go through me. Like, why the hell are they there in the first? At 4 and 5, I'm saying, why the hell are they there in the first place? You know what I mean? Now, I understand they wanted equality and all that nonsense.
Right.
But if I go in a place like that, I got to be strapped, Brother Oshie.
I know that's
right. I'm not going to take an ass.
Well, not only that, I ain't eating nothing. I ain't going to eat nothing.
Especially if they spitting in my food and throwing it in my face.
Yeah.
I ain't going to eat that. So anyway, no, I haven't finished watching it because it's a long time.
Oh, yeah, man. Savior's Day, you know, Minister Farrakhan can go 2-3 hours. It's like, damn, you know, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I just had to call in and let you know, brother, that I am listening, Brother Oshie.
Appreciate it.
It was a good weekend. My loved ones let me know how important I am to them, even my stepchildren. You know what I mean? I have stepchildren. And they let me know how important it is. And it sort of like got to me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I did want to bring this up too, brother. One more thing. And I brought it up to a brother that was on Brother Elliot and them show last night. Because we used to belong to the same. Well, I still somewhat belong to it. I'm just waiting to see what leadership wants to do. But I was talking about grassroots groups and my experience with all of them. With grassroots groups, man, my problem with them is they know that us as black folk or Africans in this diaspora, you know, we've been hurt under this system. So when we go to these grassroots groups, not only are we looking to help out these grassroots groups, we also want some healing when we go in that. And when you face the same kind of arrogance and pride and the leaders want to talk down to you like you're nothing, you're like, wait a minute, I'd rather deal with the enemy than deal with this joke. You know what I mean? And I've been in some groups like that where the so-called leader had no respect for the people that was trying to help him and his mission out, man. So, you know, we got to stop that kind of foolishness. Pisses me off.
Yeah.
It pisses me off. You know, one brother, I mean, I still love him. I even call him up now. He's up there in age, man. You know, I respect him. But, man, the brother just talked to the people. Talked to his own wife like she's trash. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, how can you lead an organization bringing those kind of behaviors? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot of work we have to do.
Right.
Internally.
Because
we can even confront this other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like a parasite on us. He's looking at what we do to ourselves, and he just jumps on it and keep it going.
Yeah.
We got to, like, look and see what we're bringing. Start loving and respecting one another.
I say.
You know, regardless if we don't even see eye to eye, let's love and respect one another, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just certain things. That's why I don't even say I'm part of the conscious community. Because I see the way those brothers beat each other up, get on YouTube and talk about. I'm like, I don't want no part of that. If they're conscious, I don't want no part of that.
Yeah. No. I definitely don't want no part of that, but I'm definitely down with those of us who have gained levels of consciousness and who want to impart that to our people, because there's no doubt about it. This program, brother, as you know, Ralph, is dedicated and committed to helping to free our minds. And I'm trying to do that in the most passionate, concerning, consoling way as possible. You know, I'm not going to beat you down, you know, but I will say, hey, I don't want to hear us talking about we're our own worst enemy. I hate that. You know, let's put the understanding where it squarely belongs. And let's more so, too, because those of us who do say that shows an innate hatred towards ourselves as opposed to what really put us in this condition. Let us begin to understand that. Let us begin to embrace one another, respect one another, trust one another, work with one another to go ahead and start to build within our community. That's what time it is.
Well, I'm gonna say this, Brother Oshie. I'm going to stop using that. But then on the same token, those of us who are our enemy, and I'm not even going to say they are of us. You know what I mean? Yeah. So maybe I'll put it in another term.
Yeah. No.
You know?
No, because no.
Maybe no. I'll put it in another term, but some of those dark-skinned faces.
Sure. Are our enemy. No.
Outright, and I have no problem with it.
Oh, no
if
doubt.
If you listen to this. Yeah, listen to this Tariq Nasheed. Now, you know, I got a problem with the brother.
Oh, I got a serious problem with Tariq Nasheed. I got a serious problem with him, especially as it concerns our women. You know?
Right. Yeah. But Brother Oshie, let me tell you something. The young folks is listening to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff that he brings, like far as a black face on white mainstream, because he talked about the Huffington Post, he talked about The Root, he talked about how these black faces are really our enemy, and they just doing nothing but keeping our folks brain. And so once he goes there, I say like, okay, because you know I heard a couple of young boys call into his program. He talked some nonsense to them. He gave one some advice, but there are a lot of college children that listen to that brother, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, so some of the stuff, I understand what you're saying about the way he comes at our women, him and that other piece of trash that lives I think he lives in Atlanta, that Sotomayor or whatever.
Oh, does
that
he?
Guy, I mean,
oh, man, Tommy Sotomayor.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to him in a long time, and nor will I, you know.
And that filth is still out there.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, but I think what he does, he's a hustler. I mean, he even let you know, that's what he is. He's a hustler.
Yeah.
But I think some of our young folks is benefiting from some of the stuff that he talks about. And anytime he let them know The Root, Huffington Post, News One, the black faces you see on those programs, they're programming you, and they ain't nothing but agents for, you know, he calls it, you know, white supremacy. I call it white extremism.
Right on.
But
right
that's
on.
All they, that's all they are, Brother Oshie. You know what I mean? So, I just had to call in, brother, and,
I'm glad
I'm listening this morning.
Brother, I'm glad you did, because I just want to say to you, happy belated birthday, and that's a beautiful thing. I'm glad you had a great weekend with your family, man. That's what it's all about, man. Right on, Ralph. Appreciate you, brother.
All right. I'm going to continue listening, brother. Right. You take
Peace.
Care.
All right. Peace to you.
Peace, man.
My good brother Ralph, man. In fact, the reason why I'm on Time Forward Awakening is because of Brother Ralph. I always love and respect him. We have another caller. Looks like it's 646. 646. Good morning.
It's brother Jay. Let me first say peace to my brother Ralph in regards to last night's call on the minister. My whole thing is this, man. I'm at the point to where as I really listen to individuals who've been on the stage for a long period of time to evolve to a totally different position than what I may have heard 10 or 20 years ago. I'm the type, I want you to get past that fight that you had 20 years ago, because if you're still harping on things that happened 20 years ago, then I'm questioning what your growth and development is. You know, my whole thing with the minister is that why are you still talking about the Jew? Why is there always some sort of issue in your presentation in regards to the Jew? I think everybody knows what their position is towards you and what your position is towards them. At this present time, I don't think, honestly, that the Jew is in any position to turn anybody against you. You understand? Because if they haven't by now turned against you, then they ain't gonna turn against you. It's basically, if the truth be told, the same individuals who've been supporting the minister for all of these years are still supporting them today. And there's been those who have come along, and then there have been those who I don't think has been that many that have gone. So the bottom line is, when you have the position that the minister is right now, you got to start moving forward on a different level to evolve our people to a certain degree of consciousness that we need to be at. You know, so, you know, that's my whole thing with it. So when I'm sitting there listening to somebody for 2 or 3 hours, man, I don't want it. I want to hear something new. You know, I want something that's going to pique my interest that I haven't heard you say before.
Right.
So that's my whole thing, man. I'm past that stage of bashing the Jew, because I know what the Jew is about. I know who the Jew is.
Right.
I know what his agenda is for African people.
Right.
Okay, now you put forward what is your agenda for moving forward in regards to African people. Now, Brother Ralph said that he enjoyed what the minister gave as an explanation in regards to the treatment that one receives by being pulled over by the cops. That's all well and good. That's absolutely a perfect. I couldn't think of a better, you know, how could I say, analogy in a sense that was put forward. Okay, but my thing is this. Now that you made that analogy, how do you move it forward and say really what we need to do as a collective to address it? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we have to educate our people in a sense on how they should behave and how they should act, but how do you evolve to your position on how are we supposed to treat the problem? How are we supposed to move forward in regards to the problem and the issue that's at play with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, so that's where I'm at with it. You know, because we're gonna get to a position now to where, as whenever there's a conversation about anything, we have to be the dominant force of the conversation, and we have to move forward the agenda of the conversation. We have to dictate the terms on how the agenda is going to be dealt with and how it's going to be met. If we're not doing that, then we really ain't doing nothing.
You're right.
If the truth be told, yeah. Because you're looking for the solution, or you're going to use the solution to which your oppressor is presented to you. What the hell do I want to use his position for? There's no benefit to me by using his position to solve a problem that he created. In that position, he stays in control because he gave you the dictate on what to use to solve the problem.
In fact, Jay, I don't want to hear a damn thing Cracker's got to say.
There you go.
About
there
nothing.
There you go.
I don't want to hear I don't want to hear a damn thing that the Cracker got to say about. I'm reiterating only because I've been thinking about this the last few days, which has really been bothering me, is the fact that, you know, that we got to say something and appeal to them and worried about their feeling or what they're going to say. Hell with that.
Right.
You know?
It's like your children. It's like your children. When your children are at a certain age, you can't say nothing. This is dictatorship. Seriously, this
That's
is
right.
real. Because if I'm mature enough to understand what the problem and what the issues are and what the direction that I'm moving you forward to, until you show me that you're at the point to where as you have the ability to not only understand what I'm saying, but maybe approve upon what I'm saying, then it's a dictatorship. Because I know you haven't done enough reading yet. I know you haven't done enough studying yet, or anything that will put you in that mature position before you, let's say, reach 18, 19, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, this is a dictatorship, because I'm trying to get you to
That's
a
right.
point
That's
to
right.
where as you are logical analytical thinker, so that when someone presents you information, you don't open up your mouth, you sit back, you wait, and you process it, and then you take it to the next level. And you can't do that at 8 years old. You can't do that at 9 years old. You may have a grasp of what it is,
sure,
but you haven't developed enough to totally be able to process it. So shut up and listen. You know what I mean? And people don't understand that. As the child grows up and matures, you give them more leeway,
exactly,
of expression. But it has to be done in a respectful way. And you have to know that my word is the final say. Now, I could be wrong. I never admit or won't admit that I'm wrong sometimes. But it's a process that I'm trying to get you to understand and to follow. You know what I mean? And this is what one of the problems in our community is, the way these young kids communicate with their parents.
Yeah.
No, sit down and shut the F up,
yeah,
and listen. I don't, yes, want to hear you. You can't tell me. I'm feeding you. I'm calling you. I'm the one who's trying to give you knowledge and wisdom to survive.
See,
you understand? Now, when you get a certain age, I expect you to be able to intellectually challenge me because you've been studying.
Right.
That's my whole thing. When I think we feel as though we don't want to challenge this cracker. No, I'm in a position to challenge a cracker because I know the cracker. It's, mm-hmm, those that don't know the cracker who should challenge the cracker. You know, it's like a dummy. It's like a dummy challenging a smart person in a sense when he ain't read a book. He don't know nothing about the subject matter or anything. Ain't participate. You know,
and they look foolish.
And that's it.
And they look foolish, right? Exactly.
No,
because
they look
happen.
They look beyond foolish.
I hear you.
They look absolutely silly sometimes. Yeah. It's just like I'll use an example. I know a little bit about Egyptology. A little bit, right? Now, I can't get into a conversation with somebody that's an Egyptologist. I can understand what he's saying, but I can't go back and forwards with him, nor would I try.
Right.
The thing that gets me is when you see people who want to go back and forward. That thing, it infuriates me to the point of no end. When you see somebody wanting to go back and forwards, why are you going back and forwards with someone that's trained? Why would I ever want to go back and forwards with an urban dad settlement?
But see, the other thing about that, though, Jay, is that when you're going back and forward, and then somebody who is outside of it look at it and say, well, which one is the foolish one? No, they both look foolish. So therefore, you don't argue with ignorant folk. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line.
It's just like, you know, you were talking about the U2 guys, right? Now, the most comical and funniest one out of all of them to me is Soraya Sutsetti. An absolutely complete character. But you know something? In all truthfulness, if Seti didn't curse like a sailor and talk all the junk that he talk at times, Seti could be an excellent teacher.
No doubt.
Seti has a lot of knowledge and,
yes,
and wisdom. Seti done been at the foot of the masters. I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around Dr. Ben. He's been around, you know, Clark. He's been around the heavyweight. But for some reason, he feels like he can't get his point across without cussing like a sailor.
I know.
And it's absolutely comical. Now, I can only listen to him for a little while, but I know what to listen for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I understand how to decipher one of his presentations. But, man, just imagine somebody that has never, ever had the opportunity to deal on that level with someone like a Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, would have to get a presentation from Seti with all of that cussing. It's absolutely comical.
I know. Well, I mean, the first time I saw Seti in Milwaukee, because I didn't know too much about him, and I go to the presentation, and I was appalled because of a lot of the kids that were there, and he's cussing and back and forth. It almost reminded me of, and I've seen Seti since then a number of times, but it reminds me of what I saw just recently on Netflix, which is Snoop Dogg's Football League. Snoop Dogg got a football league in Southern California. In fact, it's Snoop Dogg Youth Football League, SYFFL. And he does a lot of great things with the kids. But him and his coach, they cuss. They're calling the kids the N-word. They're cussing. And I'm like, man. See, I coached football for over 30 years. I never cussed the kids out. Never.
No, you're not supposed to do that.
No, because I'm teaching them. I'm showing them. You know, I'm trying to model for them. And the fact that I had all these other brothers, and I had a Caucasian that worked with me. We worked together. Because we were both firefighters. And when I got the football team, I put a clarion call out for anybody to come help me coach. Because one thing's for sure, you can coach basketball by yourself or baseball by yourself, but you can't coach football by yourself. And so So I needed those individuals. And so those who met the call, the one that stood true was the Caucasian dude. You know, he's another firefighter. So we put our monies together and we built that program for 30 years. AJ, guess what the color of our uniforms were? That's right, baby. Red, black, and green.
I hope it was red, black, and green.
Red, black, and green.
That's what it was. did the Yerugal know what you was doing with the red, black, and green?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He knew.
Okay.
He knew.
Good. He knew how to stay in his place.
He knew was the.
That's good when you find a Yerugal like that.
Yeah, he knew it was the Marcus Garvey colors. He knew. He knew it perfectly well. In fact, we call ourselves the Panthers. We were the Panthers.
What you call it? And change things when he see that you're doing certain African things. You know, they like to do that. But that's good. The Yerugal know his place. Good for the crowd.
Yeah.
But
you see my point, though. My point, though, is that I believe and understand that the vulgarity, all those things hurt when I'm trying to instruct, when I'm trying to get a message across, when I'm, you know, because by cursing, a lot of times you belittle somebody. You degrade them. You know, and I don't want to do that. I want to build you. I want to, fortify you. I want to instruct you. I want you to feel good about your position, feel good about yourself and your connect to the team and all these kinds of things. And so that's what really bothered me about watching Snoop Dogg's piece. Although, I mean, he had some people to deal with. And also, too, Snoop got money so his team could travel, you know, stay in hotels and travel by air and so forth. And that's beautiful to give those kids that experience. But the fact is that you guys were so raw. You know, that bothered me. But it's the same thing with Seti, you know, because I'm quite sure he didn't say those things with Dr. Ben, although I've heard Dr. Ben preach too.
No, definitely Dr.
Clark. He wouldn't say those things.
He's not that. Let me tell you something. If you meet him in person, now he's, I would say, obnoxious. I consider him a loud mouth, obnoxious. Loudmouth, a narcissist, knowledgeable person.
Okay.
But back in the day when you would see him at First World or something like that, he was pretty chill. I never noticed him being that vulgar that he was. He may have been that, you know, when he was hanging with the boys or something like that, but if he was around the elders, I never saw the cat display any type of disrespectfulness. That's why I don't understand why he do it now.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have to do it. He could teach without doing it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I guess, you know, that's his stick. You know, and I asked him, why do you do it? And you know, I mean, he got a little vibe. I had to tell him, no, bro, come on.
Yeah.
We go back too long. You know, for you to behave like that with me, because we're not gonna get into nothing physical, but you're not
that's for sure
disrespectful either.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we're not here to put no show for nobody. So you know what? And you know, he gave the look, and then so he acted whatever. But I mean, you know, this whole YouTube thing and all truthfulness. It's a good and bad thing. But the thing I have with this whole YouTube thing is we had to pick up a book. That's what I'm saying. These cats today are getting knowledge and information on YouTube.
Right.
And you know, I got a little issue with that, man, because that to me it's good in a sense, but it's not like picking up a book. And you know something, I find myself getting caught up in it because I don't read as much as I used to.
Me either.
You know
what I agree. I mean? I agree.
And the funny thing is, I may put in the subject matter and I may want to hear a recent lecture by somebody. But the thing is, in all truthfulness, most of these cats that are lecturing now, I don't find them to be that bright. So I got to go back to Amos Wilson.
Yeah.
I got to go back to something like that and then expound on it. And then again, a lot of the cats, you know what I mean, now don't put their full lectures on unless somebody bootlegs it and do it. But I like listening to myself, Baba Baruti's lecture, whenever I get it on YouTube. You know what I mean? But now the second part of it is, when it comes down to Baba Baruti, man, that's a hard-ass reading, man. And I'm being honest with you. I ain't going to lie. I'm kind of intellectually lazy now.
Intellectually lazy,
Baruti book. Baruti book takes me a month and month and a half, maybe 2 months to go through one of his books, man. Because you got to sit down and really, really concentrate when you read his stuff. That's how defiant his work is. That, you know, I honestly believe that right now, I would say Baruti is our foremost greatest teacher in the lineage of Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark on the scene right now. I think the work that Baruti is producing right now, I don't think no other scholar out there is producing that I know of. There may be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But as far as the message that he's putting forward in regards to our development and liberation and our trying to have sovereignty within ourselves as Africans, ain't nobody doing it like that, brother. Ain't nobody doing it like
him. Yeah, that's true. Because you know I mean, he's an African sovereignist. Like, he's an African sovereignist and he's adamant about it. Like I am. I'm an African sovereignty.
Right, no question. No question. But when you talk about these cats like Nasheed and all them, they ain't really about
it, man. No, they're not. They're about getting paid.
Mean? They fraud. They get
right.
They looking to get paid. YouTube hits so they can get YouTube money and all of that. They're not living African cultural lives and things like that. It's just like, if you really be honest, Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, that's like kindergarten work for somebody that doesn't study. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's what I always believe his stuff was for people that ain't know a damn thing. Put on 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, they better give you some basis to maybe make your brain broke.
But see, though, Jay, that's necessary because a lot of our people, that's like you said, they don't read.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. They don't read. So it becomes necessary.
It ain't no real scholarship.
No.
There's no real scholarship working that nonsense.
Well, there's. You
know, and he done made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the thing that I just found out is I didn't know that he had that many Yorugos behind him.
You know,
I heard he got a whole bunch of Yorugos doing the production work on this stuff.
You know what?
I'd be mad as hell.
Well, you know what? That would not surprise me. Because I think the other thing is about him, I know he's not African-centered. I know that. Particularly because of the other videos he put out about pimping, about manipulating women and so forth. I mean, to me, that's diametrically opposed to being African-centered and talking about being a capitalist and mistreating and manipulating our women. To me, that's no mix there because that's a total disrespect, you know. So
he's saying to you, he's a pimp.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jay, I'm gonna take me a break. When I come from the back of the break, continue to listen, brother, okay?
As always, it's an honor and a privilege to have the ability to speak with Brother Oshi, man. No one
I don't know about
you, brother.
That.
Hold cap and have a good day.
You too, Brother Jay. Thank you, man. You know, you too can speak to Brother Oshi. I don't know if anybody mean an honor and a privilege, but I really think that what I've tried to do here on this program is try my best to give our people, the best perspective on our history about us as a people and so forth, and the directors. I'm trying to put something on our minds, which is the bottom line. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be back after this.
Please, Mr. Groove, won't you come back home? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Hey. Thank you.
It ain't over yet, y'all. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. That was Al Hudson, One Way, Mr. Groove. See you! Hey! Love it. I love the funk. In fact, it was reminding me of when I was on my way to Africa on the plane, and I was bumping that and some funk. Oh, man. I was walking down the aisle getting my groove on. Mr. Groove, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. Acres of Diamonds. After that program, it is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. It's also on a podcast, so you can view them. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, 8 p.m. to 10. On Thursdays, Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, or Cooperative Economics, or like we like to say, Family-Centered Economics, from 9 to 11. On Friday, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And Saturday, early afternoon, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. On Sunday, Proof of Consciousness will be doing her thing, Sister POC, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Genocide. Has we researched, examined, and this is from... once again, The Arrow, which is, to me, just a great publication. Love them. Love what the brothers and sisters are doing there. In fact, they came to Dr. Mirma Ma'ani's spiritual warfare program in Bakasim Sum Sum, which is held in May last year. A good contingency from the brothers and sisters from San Antonio. And I love this newspaper. And once again, please go to your website. Go email them, go to the website, you know, which is the Organization for African Unity. Genocide. As we research, examine, and analyze the multitudes of acts being carried out against African people globally, the question of genocide is consistently raised. Some in the discourse are assured that genocide is being enacted worldwide against African people, while others find it hard to imagine or conceive of the idea that Africans everywhere are being genocided. Having a working knowledge of the definition of genocide can aid in our analysis of the matter, as well as clear up any confusion that exists in the minds of African people. The Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide was adopted by the United Nations General Assembly on December 9, 1948. Has a General Assembly Resolution 260 the convention entered into force in legal terms. All participating countries are advised to prevent and punish actions of genocide in war and in peacetime. The number of countries that have ratified the convention is currently 146. 16 nations, which included the United States, conditions ratification, accession or secession to the convention on one or more declarations reservations, or understanding, which explicitly require that the nation grant consent to trial of its citizenry before an international court for the crime of genocide. The international legal definition of the crime of genocide is found in Articles 2 and 3 of the 1948 Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of Genocide. Article 2. In the present convention, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or part, a national, ethical, racial, or religious group as such. A. Killing members of the group. B. Causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. C. Deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. D. Imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. E. Forcefully transferring children of the group to another group. Article 3. The following acts shall be punishable: genocide, conspiracy to commit genocide, direct and public enticement to commit genocide, attempt to commit genocide, complicity in genocide. Provided with the legal definition of genocide should assist African people with answering the question, are African people being genocide? What do you think? What do you think? What do we think? Keep that in mind, dear brothers and sisters. I'll be going back to that in days ahead, maybe months ahead, but we'll always understand that genocide is truly being practiced on African people globally, on the continent, throughout the diaspora, and definitely here. Fight and maybe live. This is one of Baba Phil Johnson, who was an ancestor. This is his column every month. This is the first front page column. And it's an outstanding narrative that he provides. And this one is Fight and Maybe Live, a decision for Africans everywhere, for we have been selected for genocide. The 2,000-year-old handwriting is on the walls of history. From its first invasion to this day, we have been selected for genocide, having fallen from the first and greatest society down to the bowels of hell, colonialism, apartheid, and enslavement, held in bondage and reduced to the roles of animals by the threats of violence and death. We must step up our fight to live, or surely we will perish. To fight is to embrace self-determination, to love our African image, and to follow select compassionate, dedicated African leadership. I will say that again. To love our African image and to follow and to select compassionate, dedicated African leadership. The system's excessive control over media, schools, churches, trade, and other sovereign governments is an omen of more intensified trouble for us African people in the future. Because of the tremendous influence these institutions have on our minds and spirits, we must challenge ourselves and our leaders to stand against the intimidation and to be strong, uncompromising strugglers. We need to keep abreast of our leaders and hold them to be accountable to us. All information that is disseminated in our community is always designed to benefit someone other than ourselves. We must be vigilant and ready to act in the interests of our people and ourselves when dealing with those information systems. Those who read about how the students at the University of California, Santa Cruz, demanded changes on the campus with a hostile climate presented an audacious model for what we all must do when we are challenged. Allowing others to determine who we are and should study must cease. Such leaders as the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Ida B. Wells, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Stephen Biko, Fannie Lou Hamer, Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, Kwame Ture, Nat Turner, Queen Nzinga, and many others should be studied on a constant basis and shared with other African people. These great gallant leaders call us to participate in our own upliftment. Garvey called for us lovingly but firmly from the grave of racial self-hatred. He inspired us saying, up, you mighty race, you can accomplish what you will. Up, you mighty race, you can accomplish what you will. Do we have the will? We need to let the audacious words of Marcus Garvey enter us and move us to action. Elijah Muhammad called us out of the prisons, clubs, and off the corners of America, saying, you are the original people. Allah chose you to set the right word for the right word. Excuse me. Allah has chose you to set the right world for freedom, justice, and equality of opportunity. We need to stop partying and get serious about working on our cultural development. Malcolm X heed Elijah's call and stood up, cleaning himself up and becoming our black shining prince. Brother Malcolm demanded that we stand with dignity and defend that dignity. He was brave and insisted that we be brave. Freedom by any means necessary. Dr. King requested that we love all of humanity, but stand firmly in our resistance to evil and injustice. He encouraged us not to be violent in our resistance to evil and injustice, but to cooperate with it in a way. Dr. King was bold as he challenged the Jim Crow laws of white supremacy and racism, or as I like to say, Caucasian extremism. He said, a man who hasn't found something worth dying for ain't worth living. These leaders and many others like them were fearless. And it is in this fearlessness that we need so desperately right now to save ourselves and our deserving culture. We need to desperately right now to save ourselves and our deserving culture. In addition, this list of leaders gives us standard by which we can measure people who claim they speak for us. Being led by committed African leaders who are prepared to fight for freedom and justice invigorates our courage and our will to focus on purging our minds of self-hatred. Hatred of ourselves as African people was imposed and reinforced during our journey here in America, as we have discussed many times. We can't stand for ourselves if we don't like ourselves. We surely can't stand for anyone who looks like us. Painful as it is, we must first face it before we can correct it. No, we are not descendants of the ape. No, we are not heathens. Africa is not evil, ugly, or inferior. We can and will work together. We can create a self and kind. We will be free. We are aware that the standards for beauty, success, and human worth under which we suffer were set by the mentally powerful Caucasian elite, not by God, as some of us have come to believe. Without fear, we must embrace this newfound awareness and compassion and to compassionately fight to bring all of our people to that great and noble truth. Our roots have been discovered, and no longer is it necessary to be ashamed of our Africanness. Our people gave civilization to the world, and we are of them. The foundation of all the knowledge systems today come out of that great African society of ancient Kemet. Free of this debilitating hatred of self, we can press on, gaining strength and more courage for this last stand. Kwame Ture gave us this thought. Our concern for black power addresses self. Our concern for black power addresses itself directly to this problem. It is necessary to reclaim our history and identity from the cultural terrorism and depreciation of self justifying white guilt. To do this, we shall have to struggle for the right to create our own terms through which to define ourselves and our relationships to the society and to have those terms recognized. This is the first necessary step of a free and proud people. The emergence of a strong leadership and self-respect will result in a departure from the begging and building for others. Our organized, self-loving people will embrace self-determination and take the road to rebuilding a Pan-African society. The dehumanizing experience, which most of the participants didn't want to discuss, makes us eminently more qualified than others to build and lead a society for freedom, justice, and equality of opportunity for all. We must begin to speak for ourselves, define ourselves, defend ourselves, create for ourselves, and build for ourselves. If we are to escape this genocidal noose, the senselessness, wasting of African life everywhere, especially in Africa, our motherland, our home, is a clear message to all of us that we are not valued as members of the human community. County Cullen said it this way: "We shall not always plant while others reap the golden increment of bursting fruit, to always counter, abject, and mute. The lesser man shall hold their brothers cheap, not everlasting while others sleep. Shall we beguile their limbs with mellow flirt, not always bent to some more subtle brute? We are not made eternally to weep." Brothers and sisters, we are not made eternally to weep. In the ancient past, we were great and creative people. Our experiences in captivity, in apartheid, in colonialism stifle our growth and stripped us of our familyhood, manhood, and womanhood. That brutal experience drove fear so deep into us that we would do anything but be African. That we would do anything but be African. We were so dehumanized, we will suffer the impact today. To be effective in our fight to live, every African man, woman, and child must work compassionately and fearlessly to bring us back to our rightful place on the planet. To remain on this course, we must commit our total being to keeping our leadership honest, loyal, fearless in the handling of our affairs. We must meet head-on all attempts to foster self-hatred in the minds of our children via TV, schools, churches, or any other dangerous information system. Working for self-help programs in all areas must be daily a vocation, and building educational institutions that teach and prepare Africans for a more qualified life, it is an imperative. Poet Claude McKay said it this way: "If we must die, let it not be like dogs and hogs, hunted and penned in an inglorious spot, while around us bark the mad and hungry dogs, making their mock at our accursed lot. If we must die, oh, let us not. Oh, let us nobly die, so that our precious blood may not be shed in vain. Then even the monster who we defy Oh, I lost my place, brothers and sisters. Please forgive me. It happens that way sometimes. So you got to turn pages. Shall we be contained in honor through debt? Oh, kinsmen, we must meet the common foe. Though far outnumbered, let us show us brave, and for their thousand blows deal one death blow. Yes, that's what we should be doing, brothers and sisters. And for their thousands blow one death blow. One through before us lies open the grave. Let men will face the murderous, cowardly pack, passed into the wall, dying, fighting back. No, you know, I am not a violent man. I was a boxer as a kid. You know, but I'm not a violent man. And one thing for sure, I love us. And I want us to love us so badly. I want us to understand what we are up against. That's why I come on this radio program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I am committed and dedicated to be a part of the opportunity to help raise the African mind, to help us get out of the situation that we are in collectively as African people. And I will do this to the day I expire. Brothers and sisters, we are targeted for genocide. It is plain and it's clear. And I know the majority of our people cannot believe it, don't want to believe it, because they believe in this system. Just like the brother's book, Dr. Jerome Fox, we are addicted to white. We are addicted to white. Yeah, just like Brother Jay says, you know, we got the Caucasian, the sky daddy, and we got the other daddy that we dealing with. And it's hard for us to understand how vicious and deep the Urugu is, the Urugu pen or the cracker is. It's hard for us. Because everywhere there's things about him that show him to be humane and civil and so forth, you know. That's why when I watched those two documentaries, Dark Girls and Am I Black Enough? Am I Black Enough was just on I don't know if it's still showing, on Bounce Network. It's Ed Gordon, and he's the one that's narrating that, hosting that. And then Dark Girls, Brother Bill Dukes is the producer. But in both of those, they don't deal with the root cause of the problem. They'll talk about how they were treated by us, by each other, how they made to feel ashamed, how some of them wanted hard to bleach their skin and to do things to their hair. And how big of a problem it was. And you see the sisters with tears down their eyes reminiscing and recollecting and all the pain and hurt that they have experienced. Not one of those programs really, really dealt openly and honestly with the root cause of the problem: European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. That's the problem. And brothers and sisters, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. So don't even try. I don't give a damn about crackers. I don't want them to tell me nothing. They can't explain a damn thing. It's just like when the South Africans just took over, and I just seen a piece, and I hope that it is correct. And I did see the other brother who was also calling for taking back land. And so the new president said that we're going to take back land and there ain't going to be no discussion. There is no deal. We're taking it back, point blank. When crackers came to take it, they didn't discuss anything. They didn't barter. They didn't bargain. They didn't trade. They just took it. And I know there might be some of us, man, shamefully saying, oh, that's too bad. In fact, what they need to do is go to the northeast there and tell them folks in Zimbabwe, follow our lead. Because when that dude took over, he said, we giving some land back to the cracker. And then they showed this cracker, a couple of them, they coming back on the land. They drove up to the land, and all these brothers and sisters come charging out, looking at them, hugging and yelling, yay. Oh, man, damn, was that sickening. And then he said, we want to be a part of the British Commonwealth again. Wow. Brothers and sisters, let me say this, and let me be clear again. This program is about independence. Independence means that nobody outside of us, we're independent, does anything about us, for us, or against us, or whatever. We handle everything. We are independent, self-determining. Based upon knowledge of self, we will determine our direction, our goals, our aims, our destiny. We're self-determining. Liberated. It means that no longer does what the Yurugu, the Yehudi, and all the other adjectives we describe Caucasian people and European people about could tell us nothing. We're liberated. Everything that we have to do, we will do for ourselves because we will be sovereign. That means that everything, education, health, governance, spirituality, all of these things will be decided and done by us, for us. We ain't gonna ask nobody. Hell, we'll be just like ancient Kemet. We didn't ask nobody in ancient Kemet to go north and say, would you help us build these pyramids? Could you give us some coordinates? Could you give us some measurements? Could you help us lift this stone? We asked nobody for nothing, and we did it all ourselves, and we did it in such magnitude and such splendor and such outstanding grace that people came from far and wide to sit at our feet, to sit at our feet, to learn science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. This is not, what I'm saying to you is not fairy tale. It's not allegory. It's not a myth. What I'm saying to you is historically factual, verified by honest scholars, historians, archaeologists, paleontologists, anthropologists. Honest. Let's go back to the arrow. There's an article in the Arrow. And it's a sister. Prahivia Kujichagalia. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. Let's take history black. It's a poem, I guess, moving on. Let's take history back. Let's take history black. The first universities and libraries evolved in Africa, in Kemet. Some say Kemet, Egypt. Egypt is a Greek word. Kemet is what they call themselves, and Kemet means land of the blacks. In Kemet, hundreds of texts on medicine, anatomy, healing, and embalming were written and shared with the rest of the world. Democracy, engineering, astronomy, all developed along the Nile River. Eventually, the Greeks and later the Romans studied philosophy, politics, economics under the physicians, priests, and masons and scientists of Kemet. In Ruins of Empires, French historian Count de Volney writes, the Ethiopians were the first who invented the science of the stars and giving names to the planets. University of Illinois Associate Professor John Patimus further acknowledges the practice of starting the day at midnight dates back to the ancient Kemetic people. The Kemetic calendar year contains 365 days, 12 months of 30 days plus five festival days. The Tekken, or what the Greeks call an obelisk, which are found all over Kemet, were symbols of the god Amun-Ra. Tekkens were used to determine the summer solstice, which is June 21st, and the winter solstice, which is December 21st, and the vernal equinox, March 21st, and the fall equinox, the autumn equinox, to September 21st. The Washington Monument in D.C. is a replica of an African Tekken. which is a symbol, which is a phallus symbol. Very quickly, we just mentioned Amun-Ra. Amun-Ra is the main god, Amun, the seen. In fact, when you have a Christian prayer, when you end a prayer, or even a Muslim prayer, they say in Islam, Amin. They say in Christianity, Amen. They got it from Amun, the unseen, the hidden. And Ra, rays of the sun, Amun-Ra. But there were other gods as well. There was the man god, Aser. The Greeks called him Osiris. There was his wife, Aset. The Greeks called her Isis. And they had a son, Heru. The Greeks called him Horus. And the phallus symbol is the fact that in Kemetic society, there was a balance. There was a harmony. One of the main gods, along with Aser, Aset, Heru, and Amun-Ra, was Maat, M-A-A-T, Maat. Maat was a female winged god with a feather in her head, the feather of Maat. Because the society wanted to have order, balance. In fact, the seven virtues of Maat, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, order, balance, reciprocity. These are the virtues of Maat. That's what ruled the society. That's why they didn't need no jail. Need no old folks home or orphanages for children. Everybody within the society understood that the caring of one another was vitally important to run an orderly society. And so if you have a king, you got to have a queen. So you had Aser, you had a queen, Aset. But if you have bad, you got to have, if you have good, you got to have bad. And so everybody who loved Aser and worshiped Aser wanted to be like Aser because that was the god that helped you get into the afterlife. You would stand in judgment of Aser. Well, Aser had an evil brother, Set. Set, like the setting of the sun, or Satan, who was jealous of his brother because of the love and admiration that was always shown to his brother, devised a plan to kill him, smokes him, cuts him up into 14 pieces and scattered his body across the Nile. His wife, Aset, along with Heru, gathered up the pieces of her dead husband, death and resurrection. Yeah, that's where they got it from. That's where Christianity got it from. Gathered up all the pieces except one, his penis, the phallus symbol. That's what the Washington Monument is. It's a phallus symbol, but not in sexual worship because the ancient Kemetic people were not hung up on sex. They were hung up on life. And what they wanted to do was build for eternity, to build for life. That's what that thing represents. In fact, as the story goes, the phallus was eaten by a catfish. That's why he used to say catfish makes your nature rise. I know somebody going to go out and get a catfish dinner tonight, right? Okay. The Washington Monument in D.C. is a replica of the African Tekken. See, the Greeks called it an obelisk, but in Kemetic words, it's a tekken. Africans studied the solar system for thousands of years before European societies realized there was a solar system. Millenniums later, evidence of African excellence continues to stand the test of time. Of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the only one remaining, the only monolith remaining, are the African pyramids at Giza. That's right. The seven wonders of the world, the Colossus of Rhodes, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Parthenon, all of it's crumbled. And that was the first wonder of the world were the pyramids at Giza. There were pyramids already, pyramid building, or pyramids that are older in the Sudan. There had been pyramid building for thousands of years. Upon accompanying Napoleon during his invasion of Kemet in 1797, Count de Volney wrote, "There, in Africa, a people now forgotten, discovered while others were yet barbarians, the elements of the arts and sciences, a race of men now rejected for their black skin and woolly hair, founded these civil and religious systems which we still govern the universe. The ancient Kemetics were real Africans of the same species with all of the natives of Africa today. Scientific genius and spiritual perfection epitomize the dynamic wisdom of African culture. Kemet, Nubia, Kush, Punt, Aksum, Dogon, Mali, Songhai, Ghana, Ethiopia, Timbuktu, Benin, Dahomey, Carthage, the Moors, etc., on and on. Understandably, before the development of racism and European Caucasian extremism, racism and privilege, Africans, as well as the colored black, were synonymous with spirituality, power and excellence, and wisdom and beauty. History reveals why judges wore black robes as a symbol of justice, while graduates wore black gowns to symbolize wisdom and genius. In many cultures, the color black is utilized to present life, while white is used to represent death, as in ashes. Inside martial arts, a black belt represents excellence. A black dress is perceived as chic and refined beauty. A black hole is known to be the most powerful force in the galaxy. A black limousine represents power and prestige. Black tie affairs represent elegance and sophistication. The finest chocolates and beers are dark. And the ideal mate in the societies is to be tall, dark, and handsome. Black is and always has been and always will be beautiful. Consistent with the laws of nature, the many hues of dark or black and brown symbolize life and fertility. These symbols represent the rich, dark soil that gives life to crops, flowers, and plants. The darker, the better. Likewise, these are the pigments that give birth to the human race. Today, millions of Muslims of all colors pilgrimage to Mecca to kiss the black Kaaba stone, just as millions of Christians of all colors pilgrimage around the globe to visit the many shrines of the Black Madonna and Child. The Catholic University of Notre Dame, the Great Lady, is named in honor of the Black Madonna. African history and legacies endure because black is the essence of color and life itself. In the beginning, there was blackness. Everything else evolved from that. Back to black. Brothers and sisters, we have a long history. Everybody has borrowed from, stolen, appropriated, that we have done, and they put a label on it that it is theirs. They stole it and they claimed it for themselves. I don't know why. I guess I do. Of course I do. I do know why. Because our minds are messed up because, you know, we don't want to see, but we watch too much damn TV. We don't want to open our minds and open our hearts to the reality of our condition and our situation. Because of fear. Because of fear. We are addicted to white. We have been trained to be addicted to white. And one of the things that keeps us in that addiction is fear. False evidence appearing real. My good brother Kwaku. False evidence appearing real. Fear. And because of that, it has us in a serious grip. It has us in that vice grip that I talk about. It has us in that vice grip. And if you understand that tool, we just can't bust out of that vice grip. We have to be able to turn that knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip. Turning that knob is symbolic of knowledge of self. Turning that knob helps us understand why we must be independent. We must be self-determining. We must be liberated. We must be sovereign. Because as you turn that knob, you're getting infused with that mindset. And now you can open the vice grip and you can see it for what it is. Not that you challenge it. Once again, we cannot challenge. I wouldn't waste a damn moment or minute. And I don't want to hear a damn thing Crackers got to say. I don't want to hear nothing. In fact, my thing is shut up, sit down. Because this is what we are going to do. We're kicking you out of Africa. We're leaving this country. We're going back home. Now, you know, let me say that because I was in a discussion looking at the documentary 1804. That's another Tariq Nasheed. But it's a good pop. I mean, he has some good. Those five documentaries are outstanding, though. They're outstanding. And particularly for those of us who just need a cursory knowledge of the fact of our history and who we are. They're excellent. I mean, yes, Brother Jay, I agree with you. They're not deeply scholared, but there are a lot of scholars in them. I mean, this one with 1804 has Wade Nobles. Of course, it has Professor Small. There's a number of people. Has these two sisters on who are in Haiti. One is Baina Bello. The other one is Sister Dante that has been on Elliot's program, has been on Time for an Awakening. So they have the people they need to have along with Tariq Nasheed. But guess who ain't? But guess who ain't on there? That's right. Umar. Umar's not on there and probably never will be now ever again. But in talking about the Haitian Revolution and what the brothers and sisters did in Haiti, became very clear that what they had to do from a physical and spiritual standpoint was to reject anything and everything that the Caucasian was trying to impose upon them, their religion, this culture, all the things, this land, everything to reject so they could have the will and the determination to fight for their liberation. And they did it. Good example was Toussaint. Toussaint, in fact, I had never heard of Dessalines or Dudi Boukman or anything. The only thing I heard about, and see just how, let me just show you how it goes. Only thing I had heard about that was Toussaint Louverture. Because Toussaint ascended to the being a general with the uniform on and everything looking like that and, you know, thought he could appeal to these Caucasians. He went to France to appeal to them. They imprisoned him and he died. I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, there is no appeal to them. Hell with them. We just do it. We purge the ignorance that they put into our minds. We get rid of the fear that they put into our minds. And we stand tall. We stand strong. We love ourselves. We love each other. We love our women. We love our children. We love our elders. We honor and revere our ancestors. We move forward. Just like the North Koreans, the history of the cracker bombing North Korea to death to the point it became the stalemate that it became, and the demilitarized zone separating North from South was established. You know, what other countries do, to be honest with you, that's them. And I don't care what somebody says about what other countries doing, but the bottom line is, that they have their right as a sovereign country to do that. And so they built up armaments, understanding what America has done to them. And in their mindset, it ain't happening like that no more. And then they seen what happened with Libya, when they gave up theirs. Then they seen what happened to Iraq when they gave up theirs. Look at Libya and Iraq today. Now, granted, I don't know if there's anything that the United States wants from a resource, from any a material resource out of North Korea. I don't know. But one thing the North Koreans said, I don't give a damn because we're going to protect ourselves. We're not giving ours up because we've seen what happened. These Caucasians have no honor. They don't believe the stuff that they put on paper. That's why using moral persuasion to a people who are amoral will not happen, will not work. Dr. King was coming to that understanding in the latter part of his life before he was killed, and he was killed by the government of this United Snakes. He was coming to that understanding. He told Harry Belafonte, he says, you know, I believe I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning house. I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning house. Now, I don't believe, given the history, and that's once again Malcolm said or Elijah Muhammad, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. Look at the history of these people. Look what they have done. Somebody sent me I believe that was Brother Kwaku, sent me the hate that hate produced. And you can go online, the hate that hate produced. And of course, Savior's Day was this past weekend. And that was a Savior's Day from back in the 60s. And from the play that they, I Charged the White Man, you know, that play they did, I Charged the White Man being the biggest murderer on earth. I Charged the White Man. And what was interesting, Mike Wallace says, listen to this hate. Look at this. Because they're calling out the truth? Because they're calling out the facts of what you have done? That's why, from the movie, A Few Good Men, in the tremendous trial scene, where Jack Nicholas is on the stand, being questioned by Tom Cruise's character, and saying, you want the truth? I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Because that is them. They cannot handle the truth. I told you about the Caucasian Dr. D'Angelo, who was doing workshops with Caucasians. And she said, she coined the phrase, they suffer from fragility, Caucasian fragility. They are fragile. Their egos, their feelings, because they want to believe they're good. They're good Christians. And what they did was for humanity, to civilize the uncivilized beings, to bring them hope. Now, some other people have been living for hundreds and thousands of years in peace. And then along comes this cracker with his religion and his ideas. And not saying that what I have is better, I will show you. It will. No, they imposed it. They didn't say, they just did it. They just did it. So that's what I'm saying. You know, I wouldn't want to debate no crackers because I know I'll start cussing. You know, I don't want to engage in that. They did it. It has been done. It is our responsibility. It is our duty as African men and women to eradicate that mindset from our people. That is our responsibility. We have a caller. Go ahead, caller, 447. Go ahead, caller. You're on. Okay. Well, hang in there. We only have 5 minutes left. But if you want to say something, caller, you're on. it came up. But, you know, and what it is, I think it's a call from outside of the country. So there might be some difficulty in terms of the phone. But anyway, let me finish. We only have 5 minutes. The reason why I'm so passionate, because I love Africa and I love Africans. I don't like what we do. You know, I definitely don't like how we behave. I definitely don't like the things that we say to each other. But I understand all of that. And I understand where it's from. No, brothers and sisters, we are not, I repeat, we are not our own worst enemy. We have an enemy that is shown truly to be such because that entity has worked against us consistently. Caller, are you on?
Yeah, good afternoon, Ochi.
Hey, Brother Paul. How are you, man? How you been?
Brother, we're doing great, brother. It's all the better to hear your voice. You know, no. I know you're coming to the end of your program. So basically, and I've been listening just to say that, you know, here in the UK, you've got an audience. I've been pushing your program and you know, what you're giving to the movement. And we've had a good response. So I know people are listening, you know. So just to make you know that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Your audience is growing.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that. And I hope one day that we will see each other so we can embrace, man. I really appreciate that. I appreciate it. When are you going to come with your program so I can call on your show, man?
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to be honest with you, my brother. It's something which I was offered, and it's something which I am most definitely working towards.
Okay, good.
I have some personal challenges,
okay,
which I'm trying to accommodate, yeah? So, you know, to be honest, if you can be patient with me, we'll get, you know, but I am facing some real, you know, personal challenges. But if for, you know, I can't, you know, make that, somebody else will definitely make that position because it's too important to miss, you know?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I'm going to support it and support what you're doing and support this platform any way I can. So you don't have to worry about that.
Right on.
You know,
right on,
so,
brother.
You know, just keep up the good work and we'll talk again soon, yeah?
No, you know it, brother. Thank you for calling, and I hope you have a blessed and wonderful week, man, with the brothers and sisters from the UK. And I appreciate them listening. Have others call in, okay? I really do.
You know what it's like when we're working with our people. You know, sometimes you got to educate them. Sometimes you have to tell them 20, 30 times.
Sure.
Trying to, you know, but we'll get there. So,
right.
So we're in a war, and we don't intend to lose.
That's
and it's
right.
A struggle. So we'll just keep fighting.
That's right, brother.
So
right
keep
on.
Keep up the good word, my brother.
All right, man. Peace to you.
We'll talk soon.
Peace to you, man. Thank you so much, Brother Paul. Thank you so much, man. Good call. Good program today. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much. A good program. I appreciate all of the input from Brother Ralph, Brother Jay, Paul. But more importantly, you, because what you do, that you give this information to others. I'm not asking you to have people listen to my program. If they do, that's great. But for you who are listening, make sure that you impart some knowledge and some wisdom to a relative or to a young person particularly, male or female. Share this information. Share this knowledge. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but also the M-I-N-E, because on the continent is all the things that we need to make ourselves a great and wonderful people once again. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Peace.